world at KFAI.org. Stay tuned for the Filipino American National News.
Sunday morning in 1942, a mother was blessed with a son who grew up to be young, gifted and brown, with the strength to tear a mountain down, with a voice so young and clear, a chance for everyone to hear. Yeah,
young, gifted and brown.
And as he grew up,
Magandang gabi sa inyong lahat, and welcome to the Filipino American National News. On tonight's show, we will have a special guest on our airwaves this evening, and that is Taurus Samuels of the Golden Gopher University of Minnesota men's basketball team, who we were able to speak with this past week as the Gophers took on St. Olaf College in an exhibition game. I want to thank Michelle Traversy of the University of Minnesota, the Director of Athletic Communications, who helped set up this interview with Taurus Samuels. Also like to say thank you to his mother, Mabel Nichols, who was able to give me an insight into the great young man she was able to raise. Taurus was also named one of the four co-captains of the University of Minnesota basketball team. But to learn more about Taurus Samuels, let's head right into the interview. The Filipino American National News is proud to have on the show Taurus Samuels, a grad transfer from Dartmouth. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys having me. I'm super excited to be here at Minnesota, be sitting here talking with you. So thank you guys so much for having me.
And for our listeners who are not familiar with your story, you grew up in Oceanside, California.
Yes, sir.
And that, where is Oceanside, California, for those who don't know?
Oceanside, California, it's North County, San Diego. So I'm probably like a 40 minutes to an hour, depending on the day, from the border of San Diego and Mexico. And then, just more south of LA, probably like 2 hours south of LAX. Just Southern California, palm trees, all the beaches and everything. Yep, that's where I'm from.
And your mother, Mabel?
Mabel.
Mabel, mm-hmm. is Filipino, and your father's African American.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. How is it growing up in a biracial family with a Filipino mother and African American father?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I got to have two very different perspectives on culture growing up, and so I got to experience two different sides of culture, like I just said. But and then I got to, you know, just be very educated on, you know, two different histories as well. And so got to go and hang out with my mom and her family a lot growing up, and like I said, experience their culture, whatever they had to teach me, like historically, and just kind of indulge in their culture. And then same thing back on my father's side too, get to experience their culture and how they do things. And then obviously it's two very different cultures too, and so just being able to indulge in both of those, it was really interesting, really cool. And yeah, I mean, it was good.
And how did you personally gravitate to basketball?
For sure. So my dad played basketball and football in high school. My uncle, his brother, played basketball and soccer in high school. And then my mom's brothers all loved basketball playing, or growing up. And so they were big Bulls fans, so they're huge Michael Jordan friends. And so when I was younger, the story I always hear is, like, you know, my parents bought me, like, the little toy hoop, and, like, I was always just playing on it. And so then I got maybe around seven or eight, and was at the YMCA and playing football and baseball and basketball, and I just loved basketball. And then I remember in middle school, I was playing for my AAU team, and summer rolled around, or maybe it was fall, something like that, and I went to go play Pop Warner. I was like 12 years old. And I remember I came back after Pop Warner was over, and I just got my butt kicked because I had been, you know, I hadn't played in so long. And I remember I told my mom, like, I hate that feeling of, like, that rusty feeling and just, like, getting your butt kicked. And so I was like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to play anything else but basketball. And so then from, you know, 12 till now, like, it's really been the only thing I've been, only sport I've been playing. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I gravitated towards it.
And a key component that I've learned about you is academics is a very important thing within your family. Mm-hmm. Your mom's also a graduate of Dartmouth as well?
She's not a graduate from Dartmouth, no. Okay. She did go back and get her MBA, though.
MBA, so, okay. Yeah. And when was that instilled in you about education?
Yeah, I think from the start. My mom really, really emphasized it. So growing up with my mom, it was like, if you don't take care of business in the classroom, then you don't get to go play. And it was always like, you know, those are my list of priorities, and like school is that number one priority, or it's going to come before sports, because she knew how powerful a strong education would be and how much further it would take me in life as compared to basketball. And so that she really harped down on that, like in high school too, like when I was getting recruited, and then my coaches as well were like, you know, school is going to open up so many more doors when you put that with basketball. And so just making sure I'm taking care of that first in the classroom, or taking care of the classroom first, it was very, very emphasized while I was growing up. So,
and from the research I could gather, your mom, is she originally from Hawaii or grew up in Hawaii?
Yep, so she was born in the Philippines, and then I believe when she was like 7 or 8, she moved to Hawaii, and then she grew up in Hawaii. And then she joined the military when she graduated high school, I believe. And so then that's when she was traveling all over the country and even out of the country a little bit too. So, but she grew up in Hawaii.
And describe that recruiting process. What were the key factors for you choosing the schools, or the schools that you narrowed down in that process?
You're talking about in high school?
In high school, yes.
Yeah. Yep. So, like I said, academics was kind of that number one. And then being able to play at a high level and better myself as a basketball player. And then also I'm really big on like culture and having that sense of family. So I'm an only child, and so I've always viewed my teammates as like, you know, those are like my brothers, those are my guys. And so I really wanted that as a culture. And so when I was getting recruited in high school, I set 3 visits, I believe. I only ended up taking 2 visits. I was down to the Dartmouth College and University of Montana. And, you know, when I look at the 3 priorities that I set, Dartmouth checked every single box. And so, and obviously, you know, it's in the Ivy League, and, you know, it's really hard to say no to that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's kind of how I ended up there, and kind of how I narrowed down my schools in high school.
and Ivy League education is very prestigious.
Absolutely.
What does it take to be not only a student, but a student athlete at an Ivy League school like that? How do you prioritize your time?
Right. I think being a student athlete at anywhere, any level, any school, whatever it is, I think it's very, very demanding of you. And like I kind of say, not as a joke, because it is true, but like we're really working, you know, full-time jobs, 12-hour days, like every single day from, you know, 18 to 23 or whenever, you know, you enter college and exit. But yeah, and then you look at the Ivy League, that is, it's another notch up too. And so, and then, you know, the Ivy League, you look at the league, I'm only speaking basketball because that's obviously what I played, but I'm sure it's true for other sports too. But like, it's, you know, there's no knock on the Ivy League, right? They're playing big time competition. They've got big time players in that league. And so, yeah, you've got to really, really be disciplined, really good at time management. And I think you've got to really surround yourself with good people. And so that's why I talked about earlier of wanting to enter into that culture of, you know, having a family, because it does get tough, right? Like you might, like when I first got to Dartmouth, like I got punched in the mouth a couple times in some of my classes. And then you've got, you know, early morning lifts, practice, film, you know, another workout, and then you've got X amount of hours of homework after that, and like projects and stuff. So really, really being able to balance things and leaning on your teammates and your coaches and the resources that your school has. So yeah, but like I said, I think at any level, at any school, being a student athlete is very tough. And so just respect to all the student athletes out there for sure.
And you said you played AAU, and from what I can gather, some of your contemporaries who are Filipino-American as well within your age range are Remy Martin and Kehi Clark. Were you ever able to play these guys in high school at all?
Oh, Remy Martin, I don't remember if I played against him. Kehi Clark, though, we played against each other. Man, I remember playing against him when we were like 10, 11, 12. He was obviously in LA. I was more south, but we would go up to LA and play tournaments. And then we played each other twice my junior year. Beat him the first time, lost the second time. Should have beaten him the second time too, but he's really good. Obviously, you know, he's a national champion playing at one of the best schools in the country. But yeah, no, it was fun playing against him. I might have played against him anymore. I can't remember. But yeah, maybe if I saw him, I think I'd recognize that we did play against each other.
You said culture is very important to you, and you said that your uncles on your mother's side enjoy playing basketball. Were you ever able to participate in, say, the Filipino-American basketball scene within the California area at any point?
I don't think I was, to be honest with you, and that's, I think, very unfortunate. Unfortunately, I was not able to, but I wish I could have. Yeah, I definitely wish we could have found, like, something like that to be able to play a part of. And maybe I'm just misremembering, and I have, but to the best of my knowledge, I don't remember being able to.
One of the trying things for a student athlete, especially in the last couple of years, is COVID-19, how it's affected not only the whole world, but student athletes. Your junior year,
yeah,
the Ivy League decided not to go along with the season. Mm-hmm. How was that for you mentally?
Yeah, that was tough. It was really tough because we were preparing all summer and even the fall, preparing like we were gonna have a season. And so I remember I lived in a house with my teammates at the time, and we got the news. It was tough how we got the news. Won't really get into that, but yeah, I mean, it was hard, right? And so obviously it was hard for guys that were playing like across the country, because there was games canceled, like people were out, you name it, right? And so, but it was really hard for us because we were at home sitting on the couch watching those guys play, and watching some guys in the league that we played in the Ivy League, I mean, you know, grad transferring early and going to play for other schools, like, you know, Mike Smith was at Michigan at the time, he used to be at Columbia, and there's a couple other Ivy League guys that went out and played too. And so that was really hard. And then it was hard too to really stay connected as a team because everyone was kind of all over the place doing online learning and whatnot. So yeah, it was really, really tough. And I remember talking about this with my high school coach, but like, you wanted to be angry at someone, but you couldn't really be mad because like, when you look at the Ivy League presidents and you really like, they're like, we're putting the health of our student athletes first. And so that's what, I don't want to say that's what made it really tough, but that's just, it was like, yeah, they're looking out for us, but it sucks because we want to play our sport, right? And so mentally, yeah, it was really, really hard, but that's what I think made that following year, which was this past year, actually really special, especially for, you know, the senior class of people that got to play in that year.
And for you, in regards to your experience with Dartmouth, athletically, academically, culturally, what will you remember about your time there?
At Dartmouth?
Yes.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I'll remember is my teammates. And I'm getting that sense here too, like we're a really close group here and connecting really well. And I think that's something I'm really gonna just carry with me for the rest of my life, is the guys that I played with there, and even the friends that I made outside the team. But you know, the battles that we were in at Dartmouth, whether it was on the court or in the classroom or whatever, those are friendships that I'm gonna have, I think, for the rest of my life. Like, I still talk to, you know, my freshman year, the senior that was there, I still talk to him like on a weekly basis. And me and my friends, they're, you know, they're texting me after our game just now, and I'm texting them because some of my guys are playing at other schools too. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing I'm going to take away from Dartmouth and my experience, just because we have that shared experience of being a Dartmouth student athlete. And so my former teammates there, I think I'm going to, like I say, carry with me for the rest of my life.
And as we mentioned earlier in the interview, you are a grad transfer. Mm-hmm. What drew you to the University of Minnesota?
Absolutely. First and foremost, it's the Big Ten, right? It's the best league in the country. And then I got to meet Coach Johnson and his staff, and I think really connected with those guys. And then just, you know, the role that they described to me that I would have, I was very intrigued by it. And, you know, the school here is so different than Dartmouth, right? It's a big school. We're right next to a city. Which is very different from Dartmouth. And so I didn't want to go somewhere where I had a similar experience. I wanted something new, and, you know, I'd be able to stretch myself and, you know, get out of my comfort zone a little bit. And then, you know, Minneapolis is home to a lot of Fortune 500 headquarters. And so having that Dartmouth network, but then also having this Minnesota network as well, and being able to kind of utilize that and leverage that, I think was super appealing. And I think the coaches knew that would be appealing to me, and so we kind of talked about that on my visit and during recruiting and stuff. So that's really what drew me to the school. And yeah,
and I may have forgot to ask you this earlier on, but what is your degree in?
So my undergrad degree from Dartmouth was in psychology, and then my degree here in, I'm getting a master's in education in sports management.
And what are your future plans outside of attending the U of M?
Like after basketball?
After basketball.
Yeah. I'm intrigued on, you know, possibly exploring, you know, maybe playing at the professional level, maybe somewhere overseas. And then I'm really interested in getting into the business side of things. I don't know what that means just yet. I'm really interested in like strategy. So that's, I think consulting might be a route I'm interested in going down, but, you know, business management and stuff, I think, is very interesting. Like, I have high goals. I think one day I want to try to, you know, lead a company and be a CEO or something like that one day. So that's something that has been on my mind. And so trying to start that route, getting on that route soon. But yeah, you know, try to play as long as I can, because I can only play for so long. And then after that, try to get into that business world and see what I can do there.
And Horace, thank you for your time today. We'll definitely try to check in with you during the course of the season.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And once again, that was our interview from earlier this week with Taurus Samuels, who is a 6'1 guard grad transfer out of Dartmouth. From what I could gather from watching Taurus on the hardwood, the basketball courts, is he's a floor general out there with a really nice jump shot from the outside. He did a great way of settling his teammates down and getting them in the right positions for their plays, an extension of a coach to Coach Ben Johnson of the University of Minnesota. And as we stated, hopefully through the course of the year, we will be checking back with Taurus Samuels and maybe potentially even his mother on raising a young man who not only values academics but also basketball, which can be an especially tough thing on a student athlete, especially when you are attending an Ivy League school. And Just a reminder to our listeners, you are listening to the Filipino American National News, which is heard every Sunday here on KFAI 90.3 FM in the Twin Cities. Also heard online at kfai.org/Filipino American National News. And right now we're just going to play a little bit of a song from an artist that was very popular in the Bay Area in the early to mid 90s. That is the artist known as Buffy, and this is her track entitled Give Me a Reason. Once again, that was Buffy with Give Me a Reason. And we do have some time for some short community announcements. And our first one and comes from the Film Minnesotan Association. They'll be celebrating 70 years of service to the community with their annual induction ball, which will be taking place next Saturday, November the 12th. Cocktails begin at 6 p.m., the dinner at 7 p.m., and this will be at the Hilton Minneapolis St. Paul Airport location. For more information, you can contact Jovi Larson at 763-647-0510. The following week, the Field of Minnesota Association will be also having an event, a seminar on bicultural and family issues. Can I tell you how I feel? I spoke with Tita Lita Malixi earlier this afternoon, and potentially we'll have some guests who are part of a short play at the beginning of this workshop to potentially discuss with the actors how they feel about being a part of this seminar and how their part in the seminar is beneficial to it. But for more information in regards to that, you can contact Lita at 612-209-7032. And before we end the show, the Philippine American National News was also in attendance this past Saturday at the Minnesota Timberwolves versus Houston Rockets game. For those that do not know, one of the players on the Houston Rockets is Filipino American Jalen Green. Jalen Green finished the game with 21 points, 4 assists, and 2 rebounds. He was actually playing a little bit hurt. I know post-game he was getting treatment for about an hour, and they were soon to be going on the bus to head over to their hotel. But we were able to get a few questions quickly in with Jalen Green of the Houston Rockets. I'd like to thank Sean McCloskey, the Senior Manager of Media Relations of the Houston Rockets, who gave us some time to speak with Jalen last evening. And stay tuned for sound effects. Here's our quick little excerpt with Jalen Green.
Oh, you can do both.
Yeah.
Jalen Green of the Houston Rockets here on the Philippine American News. Jalen, what does the support of the Filipino fans in Houston, nationally, and the Philippines mean to you?
It means a lot. You know, it's a big support system for me. They've been supporting me since high school, so it's all love.
What advice would you say you would give to Tyson to help eventually move the league?
Just keep hooping, bro. You know, everyone got a different path. Stay in the lane, keep your head right. Give it to him.
Thanks for your time.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Online and archived at KFAI.org. It's where community grows.
Programming is supported by North Point Health and Wellness Center, located at Penn and Plymouth in North Minneapolis. This summer, North Point reminds you that if you feel sick, check for COVID symptoms, start wearing your mask, get tested, and stay home if you test positive. And remember to get your COVID vaccine. North Point Health and Wellness Center is now vaccinating children 6 months and older against COVID-19. For more information, please visit northpointhealth.org.
Programming on KFAI is sponsored by Community Action Partnership of Ramsey and Washington County's Energy Assistance Program. The Energy Assistance Program helps low-income households pay a portion of their heating bills. We assist Ramsey and Washington County residents with home energy payments, energy crises, and emergency furnace repairs. We also offer referrals to the Home Weatherization Program. Call 651-645-6470 or visit the website at caprw.org for more information on how to apply.
This is the Minnesota Dose on KFAI. The manufacturer of one of the new COVID-19 bivalent boosters is claiming a 4-fold improvement in their shot's resulting volume of neutralizing antibodies. Pfizer recently updated their clinical research, stating that their new booster elicits a, quote, substantially higher immune response in adults compared to the original COVID-19 vaccine. Another source, a study conducted by researchers at Columbia and Michigan universities, shows that the new boosters are not any better than the original monovalent vaccine at increasing antibodies that fight subvariants. That study looked at the effects of both Pfizer and Moderna boosters and has not yet been peer-reviewed. Whether they're better or not, the bivalent boosters are the only boosters available, and because of waning immunity after an original vaccine series, we know that both old and new boosters have been effective in